Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning. I'm Chasm Radio Farm Director Joe Gill. Good morning. Hope you're doing well. As we enter a new day and a new month, a Saturday, May 1st here in Central Minnesota. Your Central Minnesota Farm Report brought to you by Midsoda Manufacturing in Avon. Go check them out. Yeah, check out your possible new trailer or skid steer attachment. They also do a trailer repair, DOT inspections, and a whole lot more. All at Midsoda Manufacturing in Avon, just off I-94. Check them out. Hours this morning from 8 till noon. This week on our Chasm Radio and Pioneer Seeds Seed to Feed program and our highlights, we have segments airing every Wednesday and Friday. Nick Schimmick with Pioneer Seeds joining us and gave us some early advice on some early corn and soybean plantings.
Really, the concern comes with cold shock, right, or what we call imbibitional chilling. And, you know, overall, I think last year we saw this a little bit. If it's dry and cold, but yet dry in that topsoil, then we really don't have too much as much to worry about. You know, as that seed starts imbibing water, we really get concerned as that soil temperature gets to be below 50 degrees, really, especially 45 and under. However, if we can get through that first, usually 6 to 8 to 24 hours of that not being too cold and not getting a really cold rain, then we can cold tolerate, that seed cold tolerates a little bit better, and we can really withstand temperatures more into lower 40s. So with that being said, soil conditions change, right? It depends on where you're at. It's still important as we start seeing some germination, I'd say, to go check out those first planted fields, make sure that that radical is coming out, that seed is forming, or that plant is forming properly still. If we can plant our beans as early or go at the same time, our beans can have great response too. Really, if you think about it, we're going to put our beans in the ground, more opportunity to get it out of the ground early, more vegetative growth means more nodes, and more nodes means more potential for yield. So planting early and early has some great benefits to it, but we also have to watch out for soybean seedling diseases and other concerns with early in the year. Especially, I think these last couple of years, something that's maybe been increasing in presence has been soybean sudden death syndrome, or SDS. SDS is a fungal disease that infects when it's cool and wet. So early planting conditions like we've been having, cool and wet, if you've had any presence of soybean sudden death syndrome, maybe something to think about and try to protect against going into this year.
Nick Schimmick with Pioneer Seeds joining us this week on our Chasm Radio and Pioneer Seeds Seed to Feed segment here on AM 1150. Eric Keel with Pioneer Seeds will join us here in the coming week. Some more news here this morning. We check in at USDA in Washington, D.C. as two of USDA's risk management programs available for livestock and dairy producers, we'll see some updates here starting in 2022. Rod Bain, farm reporter with USDA, has more details.
Some USDA risk management policies regarding livestock and dairy will have updates effective for the 2022 insurance year.
Dairy revenue protection has been one of RMA's most successful livestock products, and it's only in its second year. Livestock gross margins available for cattle, dairy, and swine producers.
Risk Management Agency Acting Administrator Richard Flournoy says updates to dairy revenue protection include relaxed record requirements and ensuring the class pricing option remains available for purchase, while livestock gross margin coverage can be purchased on a weekly instead of monthly basis. And while these updates take effect for next year,
under crop insurance, that means they will be available and producers can avail themselves of that after July 1 of this year. So producers can go ahead and start purchasing these policies with these additional flexibilities after July 1.
More details are available through local crop insurance agents or online at www.rma.usda.gov. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
All right, Rod, thank you very much. Rod Bain joining us here this morning. Also this morning, it's been a little while. Let's check in with our farm broadcasting friend, Dennis Guy in Canada, and he's talking land prices and farm land values as we see those seems to be increasing by the hour, by the day when it comes to farmland. And he's going to give us some interesting insight into what they're seeing off a recent report as far as farmland values in Canada. Dennis Guy joining us this morning.
Canadian farmland prices continued their steady climb last year. Average values of Canadian farmland increased 5.4% in 2020, which closely duplicated the increase of 5.2% posted for 2019. J.P. Gervais, chief economist with Farm Credit Canada, often faces questions about rising land prices, and he says, yes, cultivated land is expensive, but for the size of Canada, we don't have a lot of arable land, so it depends a lot on how you look at price versus value.
The question I get asked all the time is, land too expensive? Answer that question. You need to benchmark it, because land is paid over 20 years at a five-year mortgage rate. And you look at that payment, capital, and interest relative to the income you gain out of the land, it's become more affordable. But at the same time, it's still the second highest level in the last 20 years. Whether you look at the Prairies, Central Canada, Eastern Canada, land is expensive throughout the country.
While a number of factors influence farmland price, J.P. Gervais says the two main drivers continue to be commodity prices and interest rates.
When you look at the drivers of farmland values, you can narrow it down to two things mostly. It's farm income as well as interest rates. Farm income, at grains and oilseeds and pulses, looking at 18% growth in farm income in 2020. Interest rates have been reaching an all-time low. So all of that combined, 2020 was a pretty good year from a farm income standpoint.
According to Farm Credit Canada's latest report, British Columbia cultivated farmland ranges from $3,000 to $20,000 per acre, with pockets selling in excess of $25,000 per acre. In the Canadian prairies of Alberta, Saskatchewan, and much of Manitoba, cultivated land is selling in a $3,000 plus range to as high as $12,000 per acre in the more southerly regions. But cultivated farmland in southeastern Manitoba is selling from $8,000 to $15,000 per acre. Southern Ontario farmland continues to sell in the highest amounts, especially southwestern Ontario, from $6,000 to $25,000, with some specialty acreage commanding up to $50,000 per acre. Moving eastward into southern Quebec, land values range from $6,000 to a high of $20,000 in the southwestern Quebec area. Further east into New Brunswick and the Atlantic provinces, productive farmland is found more in pockets and valleys, so farmland prices vary dramatically. Farmland on Prince Edward Island typically sells in the $12,000 or higher range due to scarcity of available properties. Reporting from Canada, I'm Dennis Guy.
All right, Dennis, thank you very much. Some interesting numbers there from Canada when it comes to farmland values. Joining us this morning on your Central Minnesota Farm Report, brought to you by Midsoda Manufacturing in Avon. One final note this morning, the Mexican Supreme Court ruled by a unanimous vote of 5-0 in favor of overturning a 2017 lower court decision that blocked the importation of U.S. fresh potatoes. Now, the ruling, cheered by the National Potato Council and Potatoes USA, marks the end of a decade-long legal process that began when Mexico's potato industry sued its government to prevent competition from imports. National Potato Council VP of Trade Affairs, Jared Belcom, says, quote, "This ruling is consistent with Mexico's obligations under the USMCA and the WTO. Belcom adds the ruling represents a major step forward for the industry. Since it first allowed for the importation of fresh U.S. potatoes in 2003, Mexico has restricted those potatoes to a 26-kilometer area along the U.S.-Mexico border. That restriction has violated Mexico's obligations under numerous trade agreements. In a statement, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says, "This decision is important for American agriculture and for positive bilateral relations between the United States and Mexico." So some neat news there. Your Central Minnesota Farm Report here on CASM Radio. I'm Joe Gill. Have a great weekend.